Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me ever so severely if by this time tomorrow I don't make your life like one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word, alive, like a double-edged sword, both cutting and healing. We thank you for your story. Thank you that, Lord, we share in that story. And we pray, Lord, that as we enter into this story of Elijah, that you might transform us, that you might move in us, remind us of who you are and who we are. So, Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It was a showdown of nearly cosmic proportion. Excuse me if I wander around. I'm a recovering youth pastor, so I get kind of twitchy. It was a showdown of nearly cosmic proportion. There had been no rain in the nation of Israel for 3 years. God had withheld the rain on Elijah's prayer because of the disobedience of the king, King Ahab, and his queen, Queen Jezebel. They had deceived the people. And the people, instead of worshiping the true God, had gone off and worshiped the harvest gods, the Baals, and gone into a very sexualized form of worship, the worship of the goddess Asherah. But now, after 3 years, the famine was intense. People were dying. And God had had enough. And so he sends Elijah to King Ahab. Well, when Ahab saw Elijah, he wasn't exactly pleased to see him. He got the greeting, "Is that you? You troubler of Israel?" Well, Elijah spoke back, "It's not me that's troubling Israel, Ahab. It's you. You and your government. You're not following the ways of God. The people are being deceived. And so this is what I want you to do. Gather 450 of those prophets of Baal and 400 of your so-called prophets of Asherah and meet me on Mount Carmel and assemble all the people." And so King Ahab did that. And so they met on the mountain, Mount Carmel. And Ahab stood before all the people, the prophets of Baal to one side, and he laid out the terms. "How long? How long will you sit on the fence? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him." But the people were silent. They didn't say a word. So Elijah laid out the terms. He said, "I'm only one prophet. I'm the last one. There are 400 prophets of Baal. So have them pick two oxen. They can pick the one that they want. Have them prepare the oxen. Put it out on wood. Put the wood on an altar. But don't light the fire. With the oxen that they don't pick, I'll do the same. I'll prepare the oxen. Put it on the wood. Put that wood on the altar. But it won't light the fire. Then you pray to your God, and I'll pray to God, and the God who answers with fire. That's how we'll know who the true God is. The people agreed. Yeah, I said, that's a good idea. Do it. And so they did. The prophets of Baal went first. They prepared the bull, laid it out on the wood on the altar, and they started to pray. Oh, Baal, answer us, they prayed. Starting in the morning, they kept praying and praying and praying. By noontime, well, still nothing had happened. And so, well, you know, Elijah, well, he started to have some fun with them a little bit. Hey, Baal guys, why don't you pray a little louder? Because maybe your God, maybe he's a heavy sleeper. And you need to wake him up. Maybe he's on vacation. so you better yell pretty loud. Or maybe he started taunting them. And of course, this just got the prophets. They just egged them on and egged them on. And they started to cut them. This is one of the things they did in worship, in Baal worship. They started to cut themselves and dance around. And by mid-afternoon, they were just covered in blood. But nothing happened. As the day drew to a close, Elijah stood before the people again and he said, well, enough is enough. Now it's my turn. So he took the bull that had been prepared, put it on wood, put the wood on the altar, and then had a trench dug around the altar. Called the people again. He said, get four large jars, fill them with water. Remember, the drought's going on here. This is a hard thing to do. Get four large jars and fill them with water and pour them out over the top of the bull, over the top of the wood, over the top of the altar. And so they did that. Then he said, do it again. And they did it again. Do it again. And so they did it again. 12 large jars of water, soaking the animal, soaking the wood, soaking the altar of 12 stones, and filling the trench around it. And then as the day drew to a close, Elijah lifted his voice and prayed. God, answer me. Reveal to these people that you are the true God and that you are giving them one more chance to turn to you. And immediately fire from God fell and consumed the bull, consumed the wood, consumed the altar, consumed the trench, consumed the water, everything. Whoosh! And the people fell and they bowed down and said, the Lord is God, the Lord is God, the Lord is God. And so Elijah, speaking to the prophets of Baal, said, don't let them get away, seize them. And the people chased after the prophets of Baal and they killed them. Elijah then walked up to King Ahab and said, eat. It's time to celebrate. Because I hear rain. The rain is coming. Elijah walked up the mountain and prayed. And there in the distance, you see a cloud rising from the ocean and the wind starting to pick up. Elijah spoke to Ahab again. He said, ride to Jezreel. Ride to your city. Ride as fast as you can before the rain stops you. And so Ahab got on his chariot and started to ride off to Jezreel. And just as the rain is starting to bucket down for the first time in 3 years, and Elijah's racing in front of him the entire way, all the way to Jezreel. And they get to Jezreel, and Ahab tells Jezebel what happens, and things change. Jezebel, Queen Jezebel, she hears about what happened on the mountain, but her heart was unmoved. Moreover, she was livid that these prophets of Baal had been killed. And Elijah could see that nothing had changed. Nothing had changed in the political environment. The people, their hearts, they're turned back the next day. And so he ran for his life. He ran south as far as he could go, out of the nation of Judah, down to Beersheba. And leaving everybody, leaving even his servant there, he walked a day's journey out into the desert. And when he saw a broom tree, fell asleep exhausted in its shade. And Elijah prayed, "Lord, take my life. Take my life. My ancestors couldn't turn the people's hearts to you. What makes me think I can? It's useless." And depressed, exhausted, discouraged, Elijah fell asleep. Next thing he feels is a hand on him. God sent an angel. "Elijah, get up and eat." You see Elijah, he rolls over. He opens his eyes, he sees some bread there and a jar of water. And so he gets up and he eats and he drinks and he falls back asleep. Again, an angel touches him, wakes him up again. "Elijah, get up and eat, for the journey, it's too much for you." He wakes up, sees more bread, more water, eats it. Then he begins the journey to Mount Horeb, also known as Mount Sinai, 200 miles away. The same place where God had met Moses, the same place where the people had received the Ten Commandments, back to square one. Elijah, this hero of faith, who called down fire from heaven when he prayed. Elijah, the hero of faith, curled up in the fetal position next to a broom tree. Elijah, the person whose journey of faith brought him to the most amazing heights of spiritual victory, of being able to pray and fire falls from heaven. Elijah, whose spiritual journey took him to places of crushing discouragement. Elijah, whose journey isn't all that different from our own. Why is it, you think, that sometimes we set up a culture in church that says that to be a Christian means that we need to be permanently happy? It can be the case that sometimes people think when they come to church that they're supposed to be happy. We have positive life radio, we have encouraging word bookstores, we have a church in Dallas called the Happy Church. And you know, it's true, it's a whole lot more fun being happy than sad. Research tells us that. And it's also very true that when we give our hearts to Christ, that Jesus puts joy in our life and peace in our hearts. But friends, I also think it's true that as we experience the Spirit of God and the Word of God and we realize how desperately and deeply we are loved, it also causes us to love more deeply. And so a Christian is a person whose heart gets broken more intensely. If anything, when we become Christians, we become more human and not less. We feel the joys and the downs of life more and not less. And though sometimes we set up the culture of happy church. You know, and it doesn't matter. I mean, you've been driving to church, and you've been fighting with your kids, and you've been batting with your spouse, and even your hamster's mad at you, but you get to church, you open the door, you step out of the car, and hi. It's good to see your brother, yeah. Because we think we need to be happy all the time. And happy is more fun than sad. But I'm not convinced that it's scriptural. It's also funny how I don't think it's so much that Christians are that we're happy because we think we have to be. I think sometimes we're just uncomfortable with pain. We're uncomfortable with seeing other people's discomfort. We're uncomfortable being with suffering. You know, I think, you know, what would I do if, you know, I had been that angel that God had sent to Elijah, you know? And I think what I'd be tempted to do, you know, there's Elijah and he's down there on the ground and he's not feeling so good. I'd say, oh, Elijah, oh, buddy, cheer up. The sun will come out tomorrow. But that's not how God met him, is it? God didn't cheapen it with words. God didn't even provide explanation. God didn't even try to cheer him up. He met him with simple things. Simple words. Elijah, get up. And eat. And with simple things, with bread, with drink, with touch. And friends, God meets us in our discouragement, in our deserts, in our broom trees, with simple things. With the Christ who said, "This is my body. Given for you. This cup that you drink, this is the new covenant in my blood." Through simple things. Through the friend who sits down next to you in your sadness and doesn't feel like they need to say a word. Now, I don't know where you are today in terms of your spiritual journey. I mean, maybe you're on Mount Carmel and you've just prayed and you've seen fire fall from heaven and wow, I hope that's the case. That would be great. Or maybe there's somebody here that's curled up under that broom tree on the inside. Even though your face is smiling and your clothes look good. Or maybe, like many of us, just somewhere in between. But on that day when your faith is like Elijah's, and the mighty hero of God, his journey goes through the desert. On that day, know this, that even though God may not pull you out of it, He will be there with you in it. With you in it. Through simple things. Through bread. Through drink. Through a friend. Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you, Lord, are with me. That's That's the good news. That's the good news. Because God showed up for Elijah on Mount Carmel. He showed up with fire. And God was present there. But you know what? God was just as present in the desert. Just as present when he showed up with bread, and he showed up with water, and he showed up with the touch of an angel. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this example of Elijah, this mighty hero of God. And Lord, thank you that you met him in his desert places, in his discouragement, in his sadness. And thank you, Lord, for the promise that you meet us there too. And thank you, Lord, for your Son who went through the greatest desert of all, so that we might know that you are with us in no matter what desert we face. Lord, strengthen us for the journey with the bread of your Son, the living water that is Jesus, and the angel touch that is the fellowship of each other. Lord, right now I want to especially pray for those here who might be going through that desert. Lord, fill them with your Spirit. Strengthen them through simple things, through simple words. Lord, meet them even in donuts and coffee. But thank you, Lord, that you meet them. Amen.